Hey guys, Adam Ray for the About Last Night podcast. Happy Monday. We made it again. Hope your weekend was great. Mine was unbelievable. I did shows at the La Jolla Comedy Store. After Comedy Works Denver, went to San Diego. I made a little stop at Red Rocks to see my friends, the Head and the Heart, crush it at Red Rocks. Holy shit. Unbelievable. Amazing. Inspiring. If you get a chance to see the Head and the Heart live, do it. Shout out to my friend Charity for hooking up the experience. Unbelievable. Then went to San Diego, shows all weekend at the Comedy Store. Got an encore in standing O on Saturday night, late show. That was unbelievable. We brought a girl on at the end and had her call her fiance at his bachelor party. And it was just an unbelievable, fun, spontaneous moment. The songs were great. And shout out to Avery Pearson, Frank Castillo, and Sandy Danto for also bringing the heat. Today's episode is a special one because there is no guest, baby. Just Brad Williams and Adam Ray. We have not done this in quite some time, and it was necessary. You know, we needed just the two of us. And, you know, just reminds me why we did the podcast in the first place. So fun. So many laughs. So many great stories. We talk about Brad's bachelor party, which as much as we could. And more about his wedding. My week in Montreal at the Just for Laughs Comedy Festival. It's a great episode. Super fun. So enjoy the hell out of this one. And follow us on Twitter at ALN Podcast, at Adam Ray Comedy, at Funny Brad. Instagram is at Adam Ray Comedy, at ALN Podcast, and at Brad Williams Comic. Tour dates, bradwilliamscomedy.com. This weekend, Brad, you can go see that motherfucker in Tampa at the Improv Thursday through Friday. No, Thursday through Saturday. Yeah, Thursday, August 10th through the 12th, Tampa Improv, Brad Williams. Go see him. Tickets at bradwilliamscomedy.com. You can see me this week at the Comedy Store. Check adamraycomedy.com for all my dates. L.A. this week, but next week, the 16th through the 19th of August, I'm going to be in Austin, Texas. First time at Cap City Comedy Club. If you live in Austin or anywhere nearby, please come see me. August 16th through the 19th at Cap City Comedy Club in Austin, Texas. And then the week after, I'll be in Rosemont, Illinois, Chicago, at Zany's Comedy Club, August 23rd through the 26th. Tickets at adamraycomedy.com. Big Hollywood shows coming up, headlining the Hollywood Improv, August 30th. That's a Wednesday, 8 p.m. adamraycomedy.com for all your tickets. All right? ALN merch and past episodes at aboutlastnightpodcast.com. We have our new merch and site ready to go. So give us another week or so, and then we will relaunch a bunch of new exciting shit. Beanies, hats, mugs, sweats. I'm so pumped. These logos are dope. I can't wait for you guys to see them and rock them and bring them to the shows. All right? A lot of great apps on the way, so make sure you are subscribed on iTunes and rate and comment on the iTunes page. Show us some love and email us at aboutlastnightpod@gmail.com, your ALN highlights, moments, where you get the pod, and we'll read some of those moments on air and send you some free merch. How's that sound? Again, I want to shout out all the ALN fans that came to the shows in La Jolla. So many. There's a kid named Wes. It was unbelievable. Just so sweet. They've been listening from the get-go. A bunch of fans. Any of those La Jolla fans, shoot me a message. Might send you some shit. I'm going to give you some extra shout-outs. You guys were dope. All right, I think that's it. Now that we got the tour dates, Twitter handles, and merch info out of the way, sit back, relax, and enjoy a brand new episode of the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray.
Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. Got a midget and a Jew, so why don't you sit down and listen to our dope podcast during lunch, dinner, or breakfast. It's about last night.
The yeah. Next sound you hear, you're going to think it's Adam Ray. You're going to think that it's Adam. You're going to think like, oh yeah, that's the voice that should be the voice of Adam Ray. But it's really a man who has swallowed a small insect who is constantly scratching at his throat.
Is that what it sounds like? It does, right?
Well, it's just that it's not you.
I mean, it's funny how much not having... I mean, look, this is already significantly better than it was yesterday.
Really?
And I got a shot today called a Toradol shot.
Toradol?
Which... sounds Wait, which sounds that, like the name of the shot that when once they create something to make you taller will be the name of that shot.
Wait, Brad, why did you write a whole new act? Because I got that Toradol shot. Toradol fixes all.
It's an anti
Toradol grows all. Wow. It's an anti dwarfatory. You just take it and then it's no more dwarfism. They found the cure, which
by the way, if they do ever find the cure,
oh man, I'm like scared.
For real?
Yeah, because I don't think I'd do it.
I was just about to say, I would not let you do it.
Yeah, I wouldn't do it. Like, if there was some sort of thing where it's like, hey...
It's like getting plastic surgery. You know, it's changing who you are.
Yeah, and dramatically. Like, your entire livelihood, it would... I don't know what it's like to live as a tall person. Now, if there was some sort of imminent health thing that I had because of my dwarfism, then okay, maybe. But right now, knock on wood, I don't, and I don't expect that to happen anytime soon.
No, you won't.
And as long as the Obamacare stays,
it will. By the way, no, I mean,
it's okay. I'm rich, so it's fine. Even if it goes away, I'm fine.
By the way, a great segment for the show we are trying to create, in which you know how like Tyra Banks used to do on her show. And yes, I watched some of it, where she would basically put herself in a fat suit and go around.
Yes, I remember that segment, and I hated that segment.
Well, you know, okay, so you know where I'm going with this.
Yes, I go around as a tall person.
Yeah.
We get a makeup artist or some sort of special effects.
Well, they put you, I mean, it's not just stilts. It's like they definitely, like, we have the technology. Like, you look at this, the animatronics that they use for Avatar, for Lord of the Rings, or for anything. Like, even back in the Dark Crystal days, the stuff Jim Henson was doing was ahead of its time. So absolutely, that was 30 years ago. So they would have something to where, you know, you could control whatever, but you would be able to walk normally and the legs would move.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You wouldn't even want to try that, would you?
I mean, I would want to try it just
You've
because...
You've tried virtual reality PlayStation shit.
Which freaked me out because I was... I have the virtual reality Batman game, and Bruce Wayne is like 6'3", 6'5", and you're in that world. So, like, when you're Bruce Wayne, you're that tall. Like, everything, like, when you go up to a piano or something, it comes up to his waist instead of, for me, my forehead. So... And I was in that world going, this is uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I don't like this. Like, I don't even like getting on a stool and being eye contact with someone in a bar, which I do sometimes just because of the noise levels. And then I look around going, I don't like being this height.
For real?
Yeah. I don't like it.
Wow.
It's weird. Like, it doesn't feel...
Well, because you've spent your entire life...
Yeah. Yeah. I wouldn't like it, but...
It's like when my dad first shaved his mustache after seeing him with it my entire life. I was like...
Oh, that had to be, like, traumatizing.
Who are you?
Yeah.
What have you done with my father?
Yeah. And that segment where Tyra Banks put on, like, a fat suit and, like, fat makeup. And then this is... You remember the segment, right? This is how bitchy she was. She would go, like, hit on guys, and then they'd be like, oh, yeah, sure, whatever.
Didn't she cry afterwards or something?
Yeah, because then she, like, ripped off the fat suit and was like, oh, I'm Tyra Banks. Now don't you regret, like, being mean to me because I was fat. And I'm like, really, bitch? Okay, so, like...
No, thanks.
No, it's like you walked up and you were in a...
Now your attitude's...
Yeah, you were... now I'm not attracted disgusting. To you because you're a conniving bitch, not because of anything that you look like. But, like, if you walk up in a fat suit, and she had a fat suit, like, fat bastard-type fat suit. This was not, like, Ashley Graham plus-size model fat suit. This was, like, holy crap. This was, like, Mama June before surgery.
Yeah.
Like, yes, if that person comes up to you and starts aggressively hitting on you... Yeah, that's going to be uncomfortable. I don't care. You're going to be a little weird with that.
Yeah.
It's not fair to, like, put someone in that sit like, oh, now that you know I'm hot, aren't you pissed off that you're not banging me? No, not really. Like, yes, I would like to bang the thin Tyra Banks.
At what point in her show did that happen? I feel like, because there's so many attempted talk shows, whether it's like Katie Couric or Meredith Vieira or Tyra Banks or you know, so many Oprah wannabes, you know what I'm saying, where people...
Wendy Williams, how you doing?
Which, by the way, okay, well, that's a bad example because I fucking love Wendy Williams.
You love Wendy Williams?
Dude, it's a hate watch though.
Oh,
I literally watch it and I'm like, you're so good at being so bad. You know what I'm saying? And also, that was a great impression. And you know how much I love Norbit, and it makes me think of Norbit. And that's not a black thing. That's a tonally voice thing, the way she says it.
Wendy Williams makes you think of Norbit?
Yeah. How you doing?
By the way, and that's your catchphrase. And then she walks out
but
and goes,
she talks,
"How you doing?" And then her whole audience is like, "Yes, Wendy!"
She her tangents and non sequiturs and transitions are so just dumbfoundingly awful. And she talks about literally everything that you go, "I don't give a fuck about." And she talks about it, and then you go, and she makes you care a little bit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And you also can tell that, and I think that she just goes, "Oh, I'm rich. I don't give a fuck. I know that I'm appealing to the lowest common denominator."
Right.
But you know, when I say Oprah Wannabes, which is a great name for a band, there are so many people that saw her you know, template as far as like, once Oprah started to like,
right,
not just, you know, not just give away cars and whatnot, but she was like, you know, going into places and doing real like human, you know, condition help.
Pieces? Yeah,
yeah,
okay.
Pieces.
Yeah.
And so I think Tyra and Couric and all these other people were like,
they're
all right, now
gonna
what's going
to
be our one episode where we kind of
right
really help people and show people that like, I'm more than just a supermodel, or I'm more than just a Today Show host, or, you know?
Yeah, and I think it's incredibly hypocritical for Tyra Banks, let's say, who is a supermodel, was the supermodel, multiple covers of Sports Illustrated, to then say like, oh, well, and you shouldn't just objectify me for my looks. You're a model.
Yeah.
That's your job.
Yeah.
Like, that's like you and me going on stage and being like, hey, don't objectify me for my jokes. Don't just laugh at me because I'm funny. That's our job. Yeah. Our job is to make you laugh.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
is what we are supposed to do when we are on stage. That is it.
Yeah.
So if we don't do that, then we're not doing our job.
Yeah.
So if you're a model, and this goes across the spectrum. This is to say, like, if you don't look good, then okay, that's not doing your job then, because
yeah.
that's what a model is. Is
yeah
all right I'm not it does it and we could talk about unfair expectations of body image, and that's fine, that's a whole separate debate, but to say like you don't like I'm more than just a pretty face, not when you're when you're a model, that's what your job is. You're
yeah.
supposed to look good, you're supposed to look hot, you're supposed to make clothes, cars, whatever you're modeling look good, and just like I'm supposed to make everything look bigger next to me, okay? You put anything next to me, it looks bigger. If you're like, hey, the new Three Musketeers bar is actually really big, you put a midget next to it, and then it looks bigger because now it looks like I can use it as a lightsaber. What's up? Oh yeah, this is Unpretty.
Yeah.
TLC, right?
I just as you were getting very fired up, which by the way, I think is the most passionate we've ever been on this podcast about anything.
I
that
hate
matters.
Yeah, I hate that it was all about like, I wish that my message was like child sweatshops or the sex slave laws or something like that, and not like models need to be hot. I wish I picked like a more noble thing to get passionate about.
Isn't that what this song was? I remember this music video was like a lot of like teenage girls going through like body image issues.
Yeah, and as I'm trying to say, I'm not trying to say that like everyone has to be thin and hot. No. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying that if that's your job,
yeah.
if a mechanic is like, well, you shouldn't judge me on just how I fix a car. It's like, yes, I should.
Yeah.
Because that's what your job description is.
Yeah.
So you need to do your job correctly.
Speaking of 90s songs.
Yes.
You are leaving Ooh. This podcast tonight to attend.
Yes.
Maybe one of the greatest 90s throwback combo shows of all time.
I am, and I'm very excited about
now,
it.
Now, I've seen the Counting Crows numerous times.
Yeah.
And they always bring it. Because
yes.
Adam Duritz does a great job of always finding a different twist on songs, because I think he just gets bored.
Sure.
But it makes for a fun show, because you're like, oh, cool, he's going to sing this one in a different key.
Yes.
And sometimes it gets annoying, because you're like, hey, man, sing in the tone that I memorized it from the album.
I want to hear Mr. Jones.
You dropped an octave, and I can't
yeah.
adjust.
I don't want to hear round here the acoustic version.
Yeah, yeah.
I want the full band.
Yes.
I want the full experience.
They're going to crush it, and then
yep.
I don't know who's opening.
Matchbox 20.
Yeah.
Matchbox 20, Rob Thomas, I Wish the Real World.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. 3 a.m.?
Well, that...
Push?
3 a.m. is maybe one of the greatest songs of all time.
I love that song.
And basically, if there's a song that sums up 1998 for me, it's 3 a.m.
Yeah, 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 yeah. And
the beginning guitar riff. It's also so classic 90s.
Yeah.
Such like... Would you put it in a yacht rock category?
Oh. See, I was thinking about this the other day. What is yacht rock? I don't think I know what yacht rock is. I've heard it described a bunch
of
times.
Adam Devine says that's what the type of music that I like.
Yacht rock?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I mean, that's more clear to me.
Okay, did you know what yacht rock is?
Okay, because...
I'll look it up.
I don't know what yacht rock is, but if someone said, oh, it's Adam Ray music, I'd be like, now I know exactly what you're talking about. Because that's Spin Doctors, that's Goo Goo Dolls, that's Gin Blossoms, that's Third Eye Blind. That's that kind of category. Now, if that's what yacht rock is, then I'm in. I got that. What does it say,
that's,
you know?
Hootie and the Blowfish, that's Andy Lennox.
Yeah.
Yacht rock is a variation of popular soft rock that packed between the years of 76 and 84. Significant yacht rockers include Michael McDonald, Kenny Loggins, Christopher Cross, and Toto. Well, I like all of those.
Okay. I mean, I figured Christopher Cross would be in there because he literally has a song called Sailing.
Yeah.
So that would be the quintessential yacht rock song.
Sailing. Oh, yeah.
Takes me away. That's a horrible Christopher Cross impression.
That wasn't bad. What's your favorite Michael McDonald song?
Oh, jeez. It's weird because now I can't hear Michael McDonald without thinking. There you go. Wait, no, is this Warren G, or did Warren G cover this?
Wow. Dude, Michael McDonald did this first.
Okay.
Warren G took it.
I literally didn't know that.
Yeah.
I heard this and I was like, it was a cold dark night. Like, yeah. I was ready to bust into Warren G and Nate Dogg.
I mean, what a great song.
See, now when I hear this, it's hard for me not to think of the Will Sasso impression. Because it's just like, that's the thing that now comes into my head when I hear Michael McDonald's voice. It's just a weird-ass impression. We were looking for yacht rock songs on my bachelor party.
Yeah, we were.
Because we went out on a boat.
Especially for the boat, yeah.
Which was amazing. And... don't get me wrong, if you want to have your bachelor party in Vegas, that's fine. That's great. There's certainly times for that, and there's fantastic times that you can have in Vegas. But we went to Lake Tahoe for my bachelor party, and fuck yeah, dude. That was a great time.
It was amazing. I don't know how you picked the location, but I'm also glad you picked it somewhat close. Because sometimes people for weddings or bachelor parties, and look, it's always great, and you find a way to go. But like when you hear like bachelor party in Cabo, you're like, all right, cool. It's gonna take a little bit more finagling to get there.
Yeah, passport.
A bachelor party in like at Disney World, like keeping it like try to be cognizant of like everyone that you want to go and the geographic location to where they live.
Yeah, and most of my guys, in fact, all most of my guys were either in Southern California or Northern California, and so I had mine in Lake Tahoe.
That being said, bachelor party in China, very bummed out that did not happen. So next time, think outside the box.
next wedding.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, not next wedding. Just next, the reunion.
Yes, the bachelor party reunion, which I think we plan on doing this. Yeah. Some version of this every fucking year.
Well, I think
because it was awesome.
Dudes are simple. You need a boat. You need water. You need booze. You need food. And also, we didn't even need a ton of food. It was like we were starving. We were waiting for the boat, and then your boy Pete went and got us a bag of burgers.
A bag of burgers, not to be confused with a bag of dicks, which is a great insult.
Yes,
well, but a literal bag of burgers.
A bag of dicks is what you order at the burger at Bag of Burgers when you want just a bag of burgers to go.
Yes,
you go, can I get a quick bag of dicks? And they go, oh, 10 burgers?
Yeah,
for 10 dudes getting on a boat,
especially if you're at Dick's Burgers in Seattle.
Yes,
then you can literally order a bag of dicks.
Yes,
but so then we just had we got burgers, we had beer. We're on a boat, and even though as the boat was going up and down on the water, it kept giving you repeated nut shots, which made me laugh hysterically.
It was like I felt like what was happening was, you know, see those videos when like a baby like sees a pet do something and then they just uncontrollably laugh, and it's like a loop where the baby just keeps laughing and stopping.
Yes,
that was you watching me
get
thrown around from the waves on the boat, because literally every time it would jostle me or crunch my testicles, I would turn around and you were just like genuinely amused.
There's nut shots are always funny.
I know.
Even if like there was the whole Simpsons episode where the man gets hit by football wins the film festival, and I would probably be on that boat. No pun intended. You could show me an Academy Award winning film. You could show me the greatest movie of last year. You could show me Moonlight, La La Land, whatever. But then you could be like, and also, we have this video of a guy getting repeatedly kicked in the balls. And I'd be like, well, how long does that last? 2.5 hours. Done. I want that. I want the ball kicking video for 2.5 hours.
Are there compilations of that? I've YouTubed like hilarious compilations some nights where I'm just bored and,
yeah.
and high, where you'll see like a bunch of either people falling off things or like
yeah.
pets like doing weird things.
Yes, or, I think there has to be. I think, and
like hell. Nutshots volume. Now that's what I call Nutshots 26. There has to be.
I would then start buying those now. Compilations. Yeah. Like, now that's what I call Nutshots. That's where you
nut
need to
go. Nutshots from the 80s?
Oh, my God.
That's actually...
Nutshots from the 80s, 90s, and more.
Yeah. Well, there's got to be... I mean, I don't know what the...
Yacht Rock and Nuts?
I don't know what the difference is of Nutshots between the 80s and, like, 2000s, other than just, like,
one's
the
on
wardrobe.
One, yeah, one's on cocaine.
Yeah.
And the other isn't. So, like, yeah. In the 80s, the Nutshots are on coke. In the 90s, they're on meth. And in the 2000s, they're on weed.
Yeah.
So, that's the only difference. And our previous guest, Mike Henry, voice of Cleveland from Family Guy. He was in that video.
Oh, yeah.
Kicked in the Nuts. Yeah. That I watched so many times, which I thought was real. And then he burst my bubble and told me it was fake. But, yeah. That, there's something about Nutshots. And watching you on that boat, getting repeatedly hit in the balls by the boat, was just utterly and completely hilarious.
Well,
me.
Thankfully, yeah, thankfully my balls had been had just been like, you know, iced and frozen over, so I couldn't feel too much of it because I sat in that lake for probably. So basically, you had us drive all the way out to some as far as basically the other side of Tahoe from where we got yeah. the boat, and then we found this like roundabout like secret canyon that almost looked like some weird like
I think it's called Emerald Bay?
You know, like in like a movie, so. When you see like the boat like driving forever, and then all of a sudden, like in the newest King Kong, right when they were driving through that like crazy thunderstorm yeah. in the helicopter,
yeah,
and then all of a sudden it just parted.
Yep.
Like we found that type of island,
yep.
where it was a bunch of boats docked, and we're like, oh, it looked like Spring Break '98.
It really did. All we needed was Jesse Camp and Dave Holmes
and Dan Cortez
and Dan. Oh, I need Dan Cortez.
who I just found out a buddy of mine is really good friends with, and I think we might get him on the podcast.
I would love that. MTV Sports, Dan Cortez, Rock and Jock Challenge. Come on, the 10-point shot. Yeah, come on. Yeah. I would love to talk to Dan Cortez.
And so we docked, and then we just kind of, you know, planted our seat in the middle of that little lagoon.
Yep.
And then
yeah.
And then used the life preservers as like, I don't know, mini water chairs.
Yeah.
So you could float.
Yeah.
And that's when I was just like, oh, I'm not getting out of here.
Yeah.
Because also it was definitely cold for the first few seconds, and then like, you know, like any good lake,
it was
you
great
stay and you get
yeah,
warmer
that
also
and,
peeing helps
yeah peeing helps because we keep throwing you beers and you keep tossing back the cans, and then he's not being like, hey guys, I need a bathroom break. No,
yeah, can I get back in the boat so we can go to the nearest,
yeah, we can go to land. No, you're just in the lake just chilling,
but the lake knows that.
Yeah,
like you've never heard any stories of like a lake like something happening because there was too much pedestrian pee. Right. Is that a problem? Al Gore was never like, well, people on spring break, okay.
Well, your Al Gore sounds amazingly like your Dr. Phil.
Okay, wait, yeah, let me check back in.
Because it's an inconvenient
truth. It's okay.
Truth.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
A little.
It's not as quite as the inflections of a Dr. Phil.
The polar bears are running out of ice water, but also...
Yeah. The lakes are rising
from pedestrian pee. Now,
yeah,
had I brought that up in 2000, maybe I wouldn't have lost. Wouldn't that be great if that was the reason?
Some weird pedestrian pee comment.
Everyone was like, no, it's like because Bush fixed the campaign.
Yeah.
No, dude.
You're like, no, man, the
people
pedestrian
are peeing
pee.
In lakes, and Gore knew about it.
And Gore knew about it, didn't do shit. He could have stopped it.
The voters rebelled.
Yeah. But yeah, that was fantastic. We had a great steak dinner, and then we had the quote unquote entertainment, and yeah,
which
that was amazing.
Which we met some people that were asking us what the entertainment was, and somebody goes, balloon animals.
Yep.
And this was while we were on the lake, and the girl goes, that's fucking super creepy and weird. And then she basically.
She couldn't figure out the code.
Yeah, and so I basically was like, well, now I need to say that it's not that and what it is, just so she doesn't think we're a bunch of grown adult perverts that are like
which,
hiring
by the way,
a clown for,
yeah,
which I don't know if that counts as being a pervert, but like,
that
why
sounds
would you,
way more disturbing.
Yes.
If a guy says, hey, it's my bachelor party. Oh, what are you doing tonight? Having a bunch of strippers come, or we're going out to see a bunch of strippers. Yeah, that sounds normal. If you're like, hey, what are you doing for your bachelor party? A private balloon artist is coming to my room. That sounds creepy as fuck.
Yeah.
That sounds like
if you're not 11.
Yeah, okay, so you're going to listen to merry-go-round music and then peel someone's skin from their bones. Okay, that sounds like what you're going to do later that night. Yeah. You're like, yeah, after the balloon animals, mass murder.
I mean, yeah, and if you're a balloon artist out there and you're listening to this, sorry for profiling, but... You know, if you want to defend yourself,
it's not
tweet
the artist. Yeah, it's not the artist. I think the artist is doing a noble business. Yeah. It's the guy that orders the balloon artist and just says, make me a sword.
Oh, gotcha.
That guy.
And then I'll fight you with a real one.
Yeah. You have your balloon sword. I'll have my real sword. Yeah. One guy's going to have a pen because he's heard the pen is mightier than the sword. What a douchebag.
Yeah.
And then
that's not a fair fight.
Yeah. And my favorite moment that we're allowed to talk about.
Well, the entertainment, you can put your head together for what that was.
Sure.
Can you just say it?
Yeah, of course. There were strippers.
Yeah.
Come on, guy. There was one point.
Well, I want to say there was one point where I saw them dancing on you.
Mm-hmm.
And literally, I leaned over to Norm and I go, I feel like I'm watching my son like get the solo in the Christmas musical in fourth grade. Because I just was so proud of you. I just was like, or I was sending you off to college. It was just like a big, I don't know. You were so happy, and they were so in the zone.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. It was something, and because like my because my brother-in-law is there, because my fiance's best friend was there. Like nothing malicious is happening. We're not looking at each other like, oh crap.
It was as clean as fun as you could have for that moment. And
exactly.
It's like, and that's, and they even commented on that. They were like, thanks for not being like drunk assholes. Like we're like,
yeah.
And I was like, well, first of all, you're welcome, because I was super high and I didn't have it in me to be a drunk asshole.
Right.
But also, yeah, like we're not, you, there's a way to do that and be, and have fun and be respectful. And like, and look, there was a point. Well, I don't, you know.
My favorite point was there was one of the dancers was doing, how can we say this, a trick, let's say. And
she was basically performing the original plot to Toy Story 3.
Yeah, which her own interpretive dance. It was fantastic.
So, emphasis on toy.
Yeah, and then you were very focused. You were giving her the respect she deserved.
Yes, she was working very hard.
Yes.
And like any good audience member, I'm going to give credit where credit is due. Also, if I'm sitting in a line of dudes watching women do what they're doing, I'm not trying to check in with dudes. And I'm aware that I'm sitting next to other boners, okay? Yes. I don't want to check in with the eyes attached to that boner and basically share a look of like, you got a boner? Like, I don't, like, what are we looking at each other for? So watch the show.
Yes.
That's what you're supposed to do. That's what the show wants you to do.
You're a fellow performer, so you know how to be a respectful audience member.
Thank you.
And you know,
Brad.
Yes. And you know what you like in an audience.
Yes.
And
respect.
Attentiveness. And not talking.
Yes, not talking.
So one of the other guys at the bachelor party, while this act was going on, while Toy Story 3 was almost getting to the climax, this one guy in the party leans over to you, and I don't know what he was saying, something like, hey, so what do you, like, this is pretty cool. And then
he wanted to conjure up, like, he thought this was a time for like a Q&A for us to like conjure up like questions about like
status report.
Yeah, like
what's your boner status report, privates?
I'm locked in. I basically haven't broken contact. I probably haven't blinked in 4 minutes, right? and which is a testament to their performance.
Absolutely.
And it's almost like I didn't want to blink because I thought I was going to miss something great.
Sure.
And basically just leans over and just imagine being locked in on something like that and somebody just leaning into your point of view. Your eye line and just going, do you think they, and it just was the start of any question and hearing a man's voice in my eardrum.
Right.
And I just go, shut the fuck up. And Brad is getting danced on and it's a part like, and I just hear him start laughing from within the
deep inside her vagina. Yeah. No. You heard an echo of,
uh-huh.
No.
Yeah, so funny.
No.
But you start cracking up.
Because I'm cracking up because, like, we've been joking so much this whole weekend, and that was the most...
Probably in our friendship, but you said afterwards. You never heard me so locked in and connected to an emotion and genuinely perturbed by something.
I've seen you upset. I've seen you frustrated.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever seen you that... pure angry, the pure vitriol that you summon from within your body that's, shut the fuck up! like being so serious.
And then he goes, all right. And then like literally 2 minutes later, he had to get up to go to the bathroom and he leaned in and right in front of my face, put his face in front of my face and goes, I'm going to go pee real quick. And I go, stop fucking talking to me. Stop it. I don't want to hear your voice. I don't want to know that anyone else is here.
Yeah, it's even worse than the moment when you're watching a porno and then it like cuts to like a solo shot of like just the dude's face.
So funny.
And you're like, what, why? Yeah,
like,
I didn't need that.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't want that. At no point in watching this porno did I think to myself, like, you know what would really help?
Panning to a guy with a double thumbs up looking right in the camera going, you close? That would not happen.
So yeah, that was out of the whole performance, that may have been the most entertaining part to me. Was just the genuine shut the fuck up. That was absolutely fantastic.
And the gambling. Let's be honest. Like I am not a big gambler, but
neither
like
am I.
You have to have the right crew because it is yes. such. And craps is the game we chose to play because
it's a communal game.
Yo, and there's a collective synergy among strangers. Absolutely. And hopefully, if you go in with a crew of friends that you know have some built in rapport, it's even more fun because then it's like if somebody actually gets on a nice roll. There were two rolls I think I had in a roll of maybe five that were like exceptionally great because you guys were like, give me this number, and I rolled
you
that number.
And you did.
Yeah.
And we're like, that's some good juju.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I
think you started off, you put like $100 on like one number.
Yeah.
And we're like all looking at you like, the fuck are you doing? Yeah.
Well, I play craps the way I play fantasy football, which is, and I've only done fantasy football once.
Yeah.
Where I basically go for shock value.
Yes.
And I go for the unexpected.
Mission
in
accomplished.
Fantasy football, you are not supposed to do two things. Draft a defense or a kicker first. Yep. I did both. So in the chat room, I asked my friend, I go, what are you not supposed to do? He goes, pick a defense and a kicker. I go, and here we go.
And my first pick is Martin Gramatica. You're like, what dude, the fuck?
Everyone in the chat room, it just made me so happy to see, as soon as I made my pick, everyone just going, the fuck? And what are you doing? All down the line.
And for you, it was worth the money.
Yeah.
Just to get that moment from the table of, the fuck are you doing?
Yeah. So I go all in on that 100, lose it, put down another 60.
Yeah.
And then got it back up to about 350 and then doubled down twice and won it and ended up walking away with about $600-700.
Which is amazing.
Yeah.
And I walked away with 300 total, which I'm happy with. I'm thrilled because normally
walking away in the plus is a plus.
If I walk away with $40 from gambling, I'm like, holy shit. This is like, and it's so weird how like you and I could go do a set somewhere and make $100, $200, whatever. And that money to us is like, okay, it's good, it's fun, but when you walk away from it with gambling, there's like that extra sense of like, I'm not supposed to have this money.
Yeah.
Like, I won this money.
Yeah.
I'm not supposed to have it. They try to take it from me, but you can't take it from me.
Yeah.
Like, there's that extra sense of like, extra sense of accomplishment. And it was fantastic. I love playing craps for the reasons that you said. It's that community game. Normally, if one person's winning, everybody's winning. Like, blackjack is fun, but I just didn't want to have a moment where, like, some guy hits, gets a 10, and then the guy next to him was like, that was my 10!
Because
you have that sometimes, and I didn't want that to happen. So, yeah, it was craps, it was great, and just overall, a fantastic bachelor party. If anyone out there is getting married, and you're throwing a bachelor party, go on a lake, get a boat, have a great group of dudes, and it's just fun. It's just a great time, and I'm so glad that I was able to share it with people that I care about.
Yeah, man.
Aww.
Are you going to cry?
I might. You know, it was a good moment.
Were there moments you were overwhelmed with emotion?
I was.
Just like, yeah, this is
great. Because, like, you have... It's weird. Women dream of their wedding day. Men dream of their bachelor party. And we
a one sit, act by Brad Williams.
Yes, we sit there going like the way women are like, what color is the centerpiece is going to be, and are you going to have a train, and what's going on with your bridesmaids' dresses? Men are like, so what's going on with the entertainment that night? Is there going to be strippers? Is there going to be gambling? What sort of condiments do you want the strippers to eat out of their assholes? Like, that's the kind of things that that men talk about and get just as emotional as women do with their weddings. And the fact that it went off, we never had a fight. We never had two dudes like, you know, start fighting each other and be like, fuck this. Like, that never happened. There was no drama. And it was absolutely fantastic.
Now, how many people at the craps table do you think saw a dwarf sitting there and thought, and I need to play there?
I would think all. I would think anyone that sees a dwarf at a craps table, which sounds like a bet you could make at the craps table. Like, I'll put 200 on a dwarf on a craps table. You're like, oh, well, okay.
Has that happened to you at any table in Vegas or Reno or anywhere where people have asked you to maybe blow on their dice or something?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's absolutely happened. Hell, one time, the only girl that was at the bachelor party, and she was only there kind of on accident, was Sarah Tiana.
Oh, yeah.
Comedian Sarah Tiana happened to be performing at the Lake Tahoe Improv, and we both texted her and was like, hey, we're here, let's hang out. So she came, she rolled a little bit, she blew on my dice, if you know what I mean. And by that, I mean she literally blew on the dice.
Yeah.
See, that
nothing
sexual about that.
Yeah, yeah.
That's like, that'd be like an SNL character, like the guy that doesn't get innuendo.
Yeah.
She blew on my dice, if you know what I mean.
That's happened, right?
Oh, she gave you oral sex? No, no, no.
She just blew
on my dice.
She made me a sandwich, if you catch my drift. Oh, nice. So she, she had some cold cuts and she put them in between a couple pieces of bread. I was starving. We didn't have anything else in the fridge. Where is your fiance now? Mm-hmm. I appreciate the minimal amount of communication too throughout.
Yes.
Because I will say that that is a pet peeve of mine when people go on these things.
Yep.
And then they look, I think it is ridiculous to completely just shut off your phone and be like,
sure,
don't call me, bitch. Like,
yeah,
I'm having my fun.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not married to you yet.
Yeah.
You know, like,
I'm putting dicks in places where they're not supposed to go.
Yeah, just like
we're not doing that.
Like, and also the occasional check-in is responsible.
Yeah. Yeah.
But like, you know.
Yeah, I
don't but just keep in mind, had I seen you on the phone or separating from the group to have a phone call, I would have thrown your phone in the lake.
Yeah, and I would have.
And then Al Gore would have done a documentary on it. Not only is there pee, now there's dwarf phones bobbing up and down.
Rising sea levels.
Kill it, rising sea. So I appreciate that.
Yeah, well, and I've been to a bachelor party like that where the bachelor, during the entertainment, left to like call his fiance.
Oh, dude,
and
it's just
like,
P-dubbed.
Just stop. Like, and she knew, my fiance knew about it.
Yeah.
She knew what was going to go on. She deciphered the balloon animal code real quick.
Now, did she pick a point to like when the entertainment was going to commence to send you like a text of like, love you?
No, she did not.
Good move.
And
guess what? I would have understood that.
Yeah.
But also it would have been like,
remember this face.
I mean, I'm not gonna fight that move, you know.
I'm not either. If she had sent me like a picture of her face scowling like Saturday night at like 8 o'clock,
yeah,
I would have probably laughed at that.
Yeah,
like just like remember this face,
yeah,
when you're doing what you're doing,
yeah,
tonight.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
that's funny.
That would have been funny. But no,
but also the fact that she didn't is a big move because it basically means like I trust you. Like,
yeah,
have your fun.
We had that conversation where she's like, hey, this is your weekend. This is your weekend with your friends.
If anything, I wish you would have texted your friend who will be nameless, who was trying to have a fucking discussion during the show and been like, hey, keep your small talk to a minimum. This is not a fucking TED talk.
If she would have texted him and be like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah,
like,
no DVD commentary.
That would have been great.
Yeah.
And then she had her bachelorette party this past weekend. And yeah, same thing for me. Like, hey, go off, have your fun. She went to San Diego, went on a beer drinking tour, and rented a very fast driving car to drive around San Diego, and it was great. All our friends were there. It was fantastic. So yeah, it's all coming together. It's all coming together well.
Wedding is
32 days away.
Wow,
33 days away, something like that. Yeah, it's getting there, man.
Do you have your tux picked out for the wedding?
It's a tux snuggie or a tuggy, which sounds like something that I got at the bachelor party.
A hand job through a snuggie?
Yeah, a tuggy. That's one of the weird things you can get on the menu at the Bunny Ranch is a tuggy. It's like, oh yeah, you can get a threesome or a tuggy. Ooh, tuggy sounds exotic.
Oh my God.
So, yeah.
Wait, what is left to be done for the wedding? What are you fearing that is left to be done for the wedding? What do you have to do that you are delegating to the missus?
Not really fearing it. It's mostly Like, it's pretty much all logistics at this point of just, like, decorating and making sure people's flights get in on time and hotel rooms and stuff like that. Everything else is pretty much covered. The only thing that I'm fearing, and I'm sure this will go away real quick, is at the wedding I'm fearing, like, the one relative from either her side or my side getting too drunk and then maybe, I don't know, talking a little too much politics, spouting a little some thoughts. I'm worried about that because we have some on both sides. We have some loud people in that realm, so I'm hoping that doesn't happen. But I'm confident, man. Her family's great. My family's great. They've met. They get along. Yeah, I'm not worried at all. It's gonna be fantastic.
It's gonna be great. Wonderful. The best wedding. Yeah, absolutely.
Are you
gonna
have a Trump impersonator there?
just like. Walking around, he like taps me on the shoulder and goes,
I did three of these. They were amazing. You're going to do at least four or five.
What? No, one. I'm doing one. That's fine. Yeah, but I'm not worried about it. I'm excited. Everyone's sending in their RSVPs and that they're being there. And
have I sent mine?
Yep. Well, I mean, you're in the party, so I assume.
Okay, good. But I'm so bad with that. I literally, to every wedding I've ever been to, I have my friends literally text me 2 or 3 weeks out and they go, hey man, are you coming? And I go, oh yeah. And they go, can you tell me that through written form, through the thing that I sent you? And I go, oh man, you know I'm busy and don't care about doing that. Here, I'm coming.
Yeah,
and,
there you go.
Beef.
Yeah.
He goes, it's not an option, man. I go, oh, all right.
All right, chicken.
Yeah, chicken. Dude, it's salmon or teriyaki. Damn teriyaki it. Chicken? No. Teriyaki dude, did you read the RSVP? Dude, I forgot you were getting married until now.
Yeah, exactly. There are a couple people on our list
that we do double check-ins.
Have to go through and remind people, but it's fine. If that's the least of my problems. Now, we talked about your voice being a little scratchy.
Yeah, being a little...
But we didn't talk about why.
It sounds like... it's the closest to my Whoopi Goldberg that I will ever actually sound like.
Eddie Whoopi Goldberg, Ghost Whoopi Goldberg, View Whoopi Goldberg. Mary fuck kill.
Probably View Whoopi Goldberg. Because her voice was a little higher for the Ghost.
Yeah.
And by the way, it's by no means a solid Whoopi Goldberg impression. It's just the raspiness that she lives with.
Absolutely.
But yeah, it's... look, the Montreal Comedy Festival is the greatest festival on the planet.
Yes, it is.
It's a bummer that I finally go back and you're not there.
Yeah, I know.
But
I couldn't do it this year because they wanted me to go for 2 weeks, and one of those weeks was my bachelor party.
But we will hopefully do that next year and do the podcast. A lot of people ask me why we didn't do it up there. So,
next year. I've already got it locked on my calendar. I'm doing that. So
the shows are there. I mean, and look, the shows and the comedians and the hang, and like I was up till 4 or 5 every night. Amir and I were up till 7 one night. The video, you know what? I'll play the video of me drunk at, I'd say 6:30 before. And I go, Amir, I need to go to bed now. And then he goes, why? And I go, well, look at this video. We'd start doing videos of each other drunk just to like remember, A, to make each other laugh and to remember like how fucked up we actually were. So,
yeah.
Have you ever been walking down the street? Hi, I'm Donny Estrada. Owner of the Walking in the Street workout centers. Yo, sometimes you need a little pump up. Boom! Up and down.
I'm doing push-ups on a bar on the street.
Pump it up street style. Tune in next week when we talk about the bar situation.
Wow.
Oh, and at the end of that, I did a jump kick, like, at the end of, like, Wizard of Oz.
Like you do.
Yeah.
Obviously. And that...
Here's Amir, ready?
And I know you're acting drunk, but you can still hear the drunk in your voice.
Acting drunk?
Yeah.
That?
Yeah. Well, like, I know you're drunk. Like I know you're actually drunk. But
yes.
Then you were probably exaggerating that for comedic effect for the video, right?
I don't think so, man.
Wow.
No. I played that to show you.
That's how fucked up you were.
Oh, yeah. You hear like that. Yeah. Because then you hear me trying to talk, but slurring like.
Yeah.
And then here was Amir.
Have you been on the street wondering if you should vote for Trump again?
Suck my dick, Donald Trump. 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 Move around.
It's 6 in the morning.
Oh, see, that's a new kind. That's a kind of drunk that not a lot of people categorize. There's the I love you, man, who when he's drunk. There's the I want to fight everybody.
Yep.
When I'm drunk. One category that I don't think gets talked about is the repeater.
Yeah.
the person just says that just sits there like Jimmy Two Times from fucking Goodfellas. Get the papers. The guy that just sits there in the corner like I'm fucked up. I'm fucked up. Oh, she's gonna be mad.
Yeah, it's
like,
really
that guy. There's the repeater.
And it was the amount of shows, and then I think it was the goddamn Comedy Jam on Thursday that really did me in. And then I, you know, also it's like there's so many people there to meet and network with, and it's like,
you want to try to do it all.
I mean, and every night I was like, I should go to bed. Then I would meet somebody else, and I was like, I'd get locked in an hour conversation. I was like, this is why I'm here, is to parlay other jobs.
Yeah.
If you're smart about it. Dude, hanging just with the comics that you hang with all the time, look, that is fun. Like, there was a night Santino and Adam Egit from the Comedy Store and Jeff Ross and I never talked to Jeff Ross. I had an hour conversation with him. If I had not gone to bed, this was like at 3:30 in the morning, I would have missed out on that. And it was great because it was like, I always see him around and he always says what's up, but like, this was the first time it was face-to-face and him like, you know? And so that to me was worth it. So, but then a lot of other nights were, you know, meeting comedy club bookers, the woman who runs the DC Improv,
she's great.
Rick Bronson House of Comedy people.
Yeah.
Minnesota. And then the goddamn Comedy Jam on Saturday, I stayed an extra day because Josh goes, yo, we're doing the goddamn Comedy Jam in front of 15,000 people, dude. Oh, you gotta stay, dude. It's gonna be great.
Mm-hmm.
And we did it in front of 15,000 people at the outdoor venue where they do only music.
Yeah.
And
this,
I did...
These videos are insane. I've seen yours. Yeah.
It's on my Instagram. You got to look it up. But this is just... I mean, that's on my Instagram.
And you hear the people in the back singing. Like, you hear the crowd.
I mean, I really...
Like, how did that feel?
I mean, look, the shit I did in Ghostbusters was rock star status, but this was like...
But that was stops and starts, you know, and everyone knows you're there for a movie. You know what I mean? Like, it's awesome, don't get me wrong, but it's different.
I mean, look, this is everybody... You can hear some people singing along, right?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, dude, it was like...
Is that the closest you've ever been to Rob Thomas from Matchbox 20?
Well, that's not a bad thing. And my my sophomore year self would love to hear that. But it was...
Dude,
15,000.
Now, what's the... I think the biggest crowd you ever did comedy for was at Red Rocks, right?
Yeah. Which I'm going back to this week.
To see the Head and the Heart.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're not letting you open up or anything, are they? Or?
No, but okay. I am... So... Well, wait, this comes out...
Next Monday, I believe.
Okay, so I saw them.
Yes. They were fantastic.
When we recorded this, I was heading to Denver and then saw Head in the Heart at the... I'm going to see them at Red Rocks, and that... I hope Avery and I are going to go to soundcheck, and what I'm hoping is that we can take some videos of us fucking around, musically.
That'd be great.
But yeah, I mean, the stand-up portion, by the way, because it was a goddamn comedy jam, so everybody did about 4 or 5 minutes of stand-up.
Yeah.
Some people did nothing. Jay Orgeson did crowd work and crushed it.
In 15,000 people, he did crowd work?
Well, look, there's a lot of people in the way back talking, so there's only up front maybe 1,000 that are listening.
Right.
But there's kids and stuff around, so Jay was like, who's the fucking parent of the year that brought these toddlers to fucking listen to me say fucking anal? And so, you know, he was just... You know, and then he did a Nickelback song. But the music part, the stage is set up for music. So that part was no problem.
Yeah.
But
unbelievable.
But yeah, it was cool. I mean, it made you, it definitely made me want more of that feeling. And it's so funny. My mom goes, it looks so good. You sound so good. She goes, you should start a band. I go,
like,
welcome.
Mom.
That is a mom comment that I appreciate, but like, what am I, you know?
Yeah.
But look, I wanted more of that feeling. It was unbelievable. But also, the hoarseness I felt in my voice after, which I'm still feeling the residuals of now.
Sure.
I can't imagine, and we were talking about this after, how guys like Dave Matthews or Bruce Springsteen or, you know, like...
The guys that do how many hundreds of shows a year, like how they just...
How you do hundreds of songs. I couldn't have imagined singing another song, Brad.
Right.
I mean, keep in mind, I did not have my full voice to start with. So,
but just sing, yeah, like, and I know, like, the same thing happened to Brent Morin. Brent Morin, at the goddamn Comedy Jam up in Montreal, did a tribute to Linkin Park, to Chester Bennington, and he performed the song Crawling, and he screamed it. He went for it, and he sounded amazing. And then, like, I was texting with him. He's like, the next day, he's like, I'm done. Like, my voice is gone. So I can't imagine guys like that do those shows every night, yeah, multiple songs. It's just insane.
Yeah,
it's nuts. I love though that your mom sees you do, like, sing one song for 15,000 people. It's like, you should just do that. Yeah, it's, I mean, like, well,
that's,
yeah,
the most supportive.
I would love to. Yeah. I would love to just sell tickets for a 15,000 seat venue, have them sell out, and
yeah,
sing a couple of karaoke hits and walk off stage. Totally. I would love that shit.
Yeah,
to get paid that kind of money, but.
It was that city is so gorgeous too, and like there's so, it's much wonderful. There were so many if you look at my Instagram stories too, I mean there were so many things I was taking of, like, weird people and, like, weird I don't even say, like, theme park characters, but there were these one dudes that were dressed in these things where,
yeah, because there's little parades going on, yeah, today.
They looked, yeah, like they had tiny heads on tall bodies, and then the heads would go up, like, every now and then. They must have levers inside that the heads would just, like, raise, yeah, up like a Pez dispenser. And that was freaky, and it was just like, it's like things where you're just like, this is a fair and a festival, and, like, yeah, anything goes, and it's comedy. So it was just like, yeah, let's have some weird fucking kind of creepy,
absolutely,
tiny head raise up on a large body.
I would put the Montreal Comedy Festival up there with, like, a bucket list destination, like a Bonnaroo, like a Coachella, like a Lollapalooza, like Bumbershoot, any of these festivals that people want to travel, like, long distances to see. I implore everyone, go to the Montreal Comedy Festival.
Yeah,
go there as a fan. I would go there as a fan if I got the chance just to see all these different shows.
Oh, the amount of shows, like,
panels,
couldn't even get
galas.
Oh, the award ceremony I saw. Oh,
yeah,
I should,
yeah, with Jim Carrey.
Oh man, yeah. Let me just do that because I took some video of that. Yeah, that was. I mean, so they did a Person of the Year, which was Trevor Noah, and mm-hmm, then. God, what else? Person of the Year.
Jim Carrey got some kind of Legend Award, right?
He did, yeah.
It's not so bad.
This was Jim Carrey accepting the Generation Award.
Yeah.
So, I don't want to take up too much of your time, but I want to tell you a little bit about myself. I'm not sure that, you know, Judd's speech or this award could really say it all.
Timing. Such great timing.
Scottish. My mother's name, her maiden name, was Orum, which is Norse, which means I am a Viking rape baby.
Oh my God. So good.
Do the math on that.
Yeah.
Anyway, being in his presence was unbelievable. And I had a couple opportunities I think I fucked up to go back and meet him. And I got fixated on, like, wanting a picture with him, man. It was one, yeah, of those things where, I mean, I've talked about his importance to me,
sure,
before. And, you know, I was really trying to orchestrate it, too. I was talking to, like, you know, Campanelli and Santino about who I went to the awards thing with. And Andrew, at one point, went backstage to see him beforehand. And I was talking to Wayne Fetterman. So I wasn't able to go back. And I was like, oh, that might have been my chance. But then I was like, you know what, man, like, would have been back there. I would have, like, even who knows if that even would have been a moment. And
yeah,
I don't know what I'm putting this moment up on a pedestal for, but it's almost like I want to tell him what, you know, that I am doing this and this is my life because of him, like, yeah, directly because of him.
Right.
And it's like, and I've told this to a few people, and even was telling Eric Griffin and Santino, and they were, and Griffin really got it and was like, I get, like, that something like that can be that for you. And I was like, because it's not just like, oh, he was my favorite comedian growing up. It's like literally, yeah, you know, being
life going one way,
being Fat Adam and being, yeah, made fun of and being depressed as a kid and being like, I'm, you know, I don't want to say I was suicidal, but just like, but very
bummed
down
out.
And
yeah,
very, like, more than bummed out, just, yeah, like, really, you know, and not, you know, and all those feelings were just making me, you know, eating more and just whatever. And just, I didn't have anything that made me happy other than, you know, trying to not be unhappy.
Right.
Does that make sense? And
yeah,
then I start, you know, but watching all these comedies would make me feel good.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was like, I started impersonating, you know, In Living Color sketches and then Ace Ventura. And then all of a sudden, like, the exact opposite of the feeling I'm getting from being teased, I'm producing and getting from making people laugh. And yeah. so it was just a, oh, cool. That feeling is way better. I'm just going to keep doing what is making me feel that.
Right.
And like directly, and then
that was the spark.
Yeah. And then it's like, and then that, you know, obviously you have to make a choice in your life to then go, oh, cool, I'm going to make comedy, try to make it my profession. But still, like, it, had not that happened, I wouldn't have.
Yeah.
So so I think it's wanting that moment and then wanting a picture. But then at the end of the day, you're like, what is a picture? Like, I don't want it for the Instagram likes. I want it for me.
Right.
But, you know, but who knows? But then also, you know, it's like we've talked about, like, you want to put yourself in a position where you go, well, maybe I'll work with them. Like, don't get that picture now. Get that picture when you...
Yeah, get that picture when you're sitting across at
a table read or something.
Yeah, at a table read from them. So going, hey, Mr. Carey, I'm your co-star, Adam Ray.
Yeah.
And then have them know you on that level. Because in talking to Santino and Eric and Al, who are now working with him on the great show I'm Dying Up Here, please watch that on Showtime.
Jim came to see Santino do stand-up one night, too.
Oh, that's so cool.
And I was like, I mean, what the fuck,
can you imagine? Dude? Like, and that's the level that they have now because they're co-workers. They're not fan and star. They're co-workers.
Yeah. I mean, Sandra Bullock came to see me do stand-up in Boston. And
she won an Academy Award, so suck it, Santino. That's what we're trying to say.
at the comedy studio above a Chinese restaurant.
Yeah.
In a room, well, probably about the size of the room that Santino did. Because a lot of those rooms, as you know, are dope venues, but there's a lot of small ones, and then there's some really... grand ones where they do the nasty show and whatnot.
Absolutely.
I didn't get to see, I wanted to see Mulaney, I wanted to see Birbiglia. I did see Birbiglia do stand up on the spot, which was great.
Oh, that's Jeremiah Watkins show where you literally make it up.
Yeah.
You ask the audience to yell out a topic and they yell out a topic and you just fucking go.
Yeah.
And we both done that show at the Comedy Store. It's so amazing.
Birbiglia had
so much
some
fun.
Great line where somebody goes like flirty and he goes, well, I'm not doing a lot of flirting now because I'm married. He goes, it's so funny when you're like not married, you're just like looking around and you're thinking in terms of like, I could fuck that, I could fuck that. And then like you get married, you just go, I can't fuck anything. But in a very Birbiglia way. Yeah,
I like that. I can't fuck anything.
His rhythms are so like...
He's got that down. He's
doesn't it make you
in.
Excited to think about where we are now in our careers and think like the rhythms of like Chappelle or Birbiglia, it's like that, like they honed in on those probably about at the time that we're at now, but it's like it only gets more where you go, oh, that's a Brad Williams like... Rhythm. You know?
Yeah, he I would love for someone at some point to say, oh, he told that joke... like Brad Williams.
And also, you know your shit enough to where when you write something, you're going like, oh, it goes ba-dum, ba-dum.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Yeah, which...
That was you falling down the stairs.
Yeah. Where I was like, there was one moment where I thought I could save it.
Yeah.
And then going down.
Yeah.
So, and I look forward to the day that that happens, and I look forward to the day when... I think we're both excited about this, where we both know that our best stuff is yet to come. And I think that's really exciting, and to see our friends keep getting better and we keep getting better, and then we get to witness their successes. It's a really cool feeling, and we love talking about them unless we're talking about Matchbox 20, in which case...
What are you going to do when you hear this tonight? Are you going to scream or are you going to... Because it's not a song that you hear. It's not the beginning of Sweet Child of Mine. You
right,
know?
Right.
But it's still a memorable...
Because it's like an emotional song. So I'll probably just hold the hand of my fiance who I'm taking to the concert, stare longingly into her eyes, and just go, tonight, we doing butt stuff?
Well, then you should definitely ask that to the song Push. Good night, everybody.
Tony Danza. Lanza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Boy, they're a lot of fun, huh? Why don't you subscribe on iTunes to this fucking podcast? Give them a 5-star rating so this midget and this Jew can feel good about themselves for a couple minutes. Also, get on your iPhone or Android and get the podcast app. You can also listen to it on Stitcher or aboutlastnightpodcast.com, where you can hear past episodes with great guests like Lisa Kudrow, Paul Feig, Kevin Nealon, Bob Saget, Dion Cole, Chris D'Elia, Adam Devine, Michael McDonald, Jaleel White, Bud Friedman, Steve-O, Harlan Williams, Tom Arnold, Ron Funches, Rick Glassman, Blake Anderson, Anders Holm, Jessime Peluso, Joey McIntyre, and many, many more. I'm Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast. Good night. That's it, right? You got it? Sweet. Boy, it smells good in that booth, by the way. What kind of candle is that? Hanukkah Willow? Nice.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.